If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined again by Randy Engston.
Again, only damn close to 700 times.
Yeah. Let's get right into it, guys. We've got a good episode for you today. We're talking status. We're talking how status is a powerful driver of decision-making. So we're going to get into status for a second. So we were speaking with, well, we were talking before the show. We were talking about what are we selling here at the training gyms, at the micro gyms? What are you selling at your gym? Is it the training or is it a change of identity?
There you go.
Is it a new status in their community? And really the honest truth is it's the identity. Like We're not selling the workouts. The workouts provide a result, which maybe helps somebody feel better about themselves, look better. And now they have a new identity. I'm a healthy person versus a not healthy person. And therefore in their eyes and maybe others, their status in the community rises.
Sure.
And if you look at it from that aspect, there's a lot more that goes into status in your gyms and whether or not people stay or leave or are driven to do things in your gym and refer and everything else. It comes down to the status of themselves in the community. So there's a lot of examples here. So you all have that one, maybe it's you. You all have that one friend that loves to be the first one to see the movie, find the dive bar, find the cool restaurant. You got to try this place. There's a grand opening. I went to the grand opening. It's awesome. You got to go to this place because they want themselves as in their eyes, their status is higher because they've knew first.
Sure. They gave you that value, the insight. That
yeah, put, yeah. That's one example.
Yeah. They feel like they get a win.
Yeah. Yeah. It maybe makes them feel better. Maybe it's one upping sometimes. Sure. That could be it. But it's really interesting. So every decision that's made either, you know, when somebody's purchasing something or making a decision on whether or not to do something, a lot of it has to come down to status. Like, will this raise or lower my status in other people's eyes?
And you used like community.
Yeah.
Or, but it could be your family. It could be, you know, your small social group with friends. I don't think it's always global, you know what I mean? But it could be a little micro.
It goes back to that story about the first class tickets, right? Like, that to me is a status for me, right? It's a status that I hold myself up to, but there's no doubt in my mind that I know that people walking past me have their own version and of story that they're telling themselves in their head. Who is that guy? Why is he sitting up here? Is he famous? Is he a movie star? Is he an athlete? I mean, he's really good looking, so he must be something, right? No,
that's exactly it, yeah.
And it's so funny because the same product, value, or service to one person may raise their status into another person, it may lower their status. I'll give you a quick example. Well, you can go to that first class ticket. Somebody that doesn't value first class, or they have a group of friends that are frugal, and they're with their family and maybe they're penny pinching and they just don't want to spend money, whether or not they can or do, that's irrelevant. If they were to get the first class ticket in their community's eyes, their direct surroundings, their status would be lowered. What are you spending the money on that for?
What's a waste of money?
Look at that guy throwing that money away. Another good example is the Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just talking about the same thing. So to some people, a Lamborghini would raise their status. to a lot of people, especially if you look on social media, right? Like if you look at business gurus and digital marketer, you know, they're always flashing cars because they believe that if they drive that car, their status is raised in their community of others, right? Or maybe this makes them feel good, but it is identity. It is identity and status. Now, if a mom in a general, you know, public school neighborhood were to buy that same Lamborghini and drive to go pick up her kids from school, her status would be lowered because of all the, you know, the minivans that she's cutting in front of.
She got there first, right?
She got there. She got there. She's faster. She's sitting in the Lamborghini with the top down. Think about all of the moms that are driving the minivans. They look at this lady and like, what they're, you know, they ridicule or they make up stories in their head. Right. Good. And so therefore she might be embarrassed to drive that same Lamborghini to pick up her kids. Whereas the guru guy will floss it and flash it and everything else. Raised status in one position, lowered status in another position. So when you go back to your gyms, what are we trying to do with our clients? We're trying to help them get a new identity, which and then raises their status in their eyes, but in their family's eyes and in their community's eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints profit and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Broxterman. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
And that's a good point too. And you have to think about the identity. I think that it's, everyone should kind of do a little bit of deep dive into this, right? What is the identity that our average or our avatar client is looking to achieve? Where are they today? What has to happen in order for them to achieve that new identity? And making sure that your delivery, the experience, all of that is in alignment with the new identity you want your clients to achieve. What are they? Are they, you know, again, it depends. We're not trying to, most of the gyms we work with, right? We're not trying to create bodybuilders and figure competitors and that type of thing, but health, you know, getting rid of some of that. Maybe it's the beer belly. Maybe it's the sedentary lifestyle. Maybe, like they're trying to create some form of change that will then allow them to feel different about themselves and embrace that new identity.
Yeah. I mean, here's another great example. The golfer goes out with his buddies. He's in your gym so he can outdrive them. Mm-hmm. He wants to raise his status among his peers on the golf course. And so, wow, what are you doing, man? You're driving it. You're out driving everybody now. Last 2 months ago, you were, you know, 285 guy. Now you're 305. What have you been doing? Well, his status is raised.
Yeah.
And he's in the gym for that specific conversation that's going to happen when he outdrives him. That's literally what he's doing the workouts for. So he's changing his identity. He's now the long drive ball guy, right?
You can see an interesting... This is an interesting one where status matters in a way that it actually supersedes the result. When you have that client that has your key fob or your keychain with your gym name on it and they don't go, but when they're on the street, when they're out shopping, when they're doing all their social things, they're damn proud of that tag hanging from their keychain,
right?
Because to them, it equates to the status of being part of that community. Very as opposed true. To... I mean, and again, even just being part of the community of the gym does differentiate the status, regardless of how they look, feel, you 100%. Know, about themselves and things like that. We've seen that so much. Scottsdale's very, there's a good, you know, portion of the population that's a little vain.
Of course.
And
of
course. Status does, I think it impacts, you know, this area maybe a little bit different than it does others. Probably just scaled, right? Like it's got a bigger
impact. It's the black card. It's the reservation at the nice, you know, it's the country club membership. It's the first class or whatever. It's your platinum membership. But, you know, it's all of those things that drive decisions sometimes. Now, again, those same exact products and services may lower somebody else's status if they're not in alignment with those things. Over here, and let's just say somebody isn't vain and they want to be practical, that minivan that they buy will raise their status because it's economical. It's practical. So that's a different avatar.
Yeah, maybe the bells and whistles of that, you know, vehicle cater to the kids in the back seat as opposed to, you know, the performance of a supercar or something. Correct. Right?
And so you have to be aware of the indirect, like, identity and status changes of your clientele. Now, think about your current clients in your gyms and how to use this to your advantage, right? Here's a couple of great examples. So the Perkville thing, right? Mm-hmm. Way back in the day, we had a levels board that you could only earn. You could only earn through points and MEPs and workouts and money spent and all the things. You couldn't just go buy a t-shirt that was the gold.
Sure.
And one of those biggest ways to rise up on the ranks was giving referrals. And just before we launched this officially, we had gotten a referral from a client named Fiona, and she had gotten, which was at the time, the free month of her next month's membership. We just zeroed it out. That used to be our last incentive.
Yeah.
And when she didn't see her numbers go on the board and she didn't move levels, she questioned Zach, hey, what's going on? I thought I gave you that referral. Don't I get the points? She goes, and Zach goes, hey, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but we gave you the $500 free month or $480 or whatever it was at the time. She goes, go ahead and bill me. I'd rather have the points.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the status. I would rather have other people see me at the gold level than that $500, which was beautiful thing for us because, you know, points don't cost anything. Secret, right? And it just tells you kind of everything we always wanted to know. What is the motivator? The
intrinsic motivation of them.
For your clients to take specific actions on things. And for ours, or at least her at the time, was status. And it's not a secret. Every credit card company and airline, they all figured this out long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's exclusivity. It's if you know, you know. It's all of that stuff.
We've talked about the velvet rope, right? You know, bottle service at the club, right? That's a great way of just kind of seeing it in real time. In order to get to the you know, bottle service behind the velvet rope, you have to buy the bottle. The same liquor that's available in a single drink at the bar, but the second that they bought that bottle, they get this private area, which, again, they feel is a different status than everybody else.
Correct.
Going to the bar to get those drinks. It's the same outcome, just done differently.
Yeah.
And it changes the way that they're perceived. I mean, you think about it. Like, people that walk by is like, who's the one that got, who are those people that have the table, right? The average is looking at those that are behind the velvet rope differently.
Yeah.
And the people that are behind the velvet rope feel as if they are better or have a higher status than everybody else.
It's a status. It's an identity. It's a feeling. It's all of those things. And so here we are, not realizing it most of the time, what we're really providing to the end user, which is the client. Now, you could use that to your advantage. I mean, you should use that to your advantage because that's what they want. Like, you're not like being whatever shady. Mm-hmm. It's like you're giving them the status that they want anyway. That's, they want to be the healthy person. They want the six pack abs. They want to take their shirt off. They want to run around with their kids. They want to outdrive their, you know, golf buddies, whatever. Give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them own it. Celebrate it. when they hit that goal, the achievement, that's the achieve phase, right? Or whatever in Jerry Coleman, right? And so we felt it was necessary to explain that in a different way. It might open your eyes a little bit. Maybe you knew this. I don't know. Maybe it just, oh yeah, now it makes sense. Whatever.
Well, the bottom line is if you're still trying to sell workouts, if you're still trying to sell just a fitness result, this is all of the things that you're not thinking about that your clients are, whether they're conscious of it or subconscious, you know, like it's taking place subconsciously. Right. These are the things that if you can have things in the business that help speak to this, help create a higher status for your clients, mm-hmm. the chances are they're going to stay with you a heck of a lot longer.
10-4. All right. Hopefully that helps you guys. Spin the wheels. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next one. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.